what left of the previous second before we stopped the main goal we're going to try to talk about tonight. So we were talking the last two shiurim about the parameters of Chomesh Lava Pesach, just to recap for a moment. So the Gemara concludes that we pass in the Issa of Chomesh Lava Pesach is only Midrabanan. The Institute of Midrabanan as a knas, as a penalty for those people who violate by Rabbi Matze. So we saw many different examples in the last two shiurim, just exactly how far that connection between the actual violation of by Rabbi Matzeh and the Knas really is. Is the Knas an absolute follow the rules? If and when you violate by Rabbi Matzeh, then only then is the Knas, or is it a little bit broader than that? So we spoke about situations of Yisrael owning Chametz, perhaps the Echmet Asik and owning Chametz, perhaps in other types of scenarios, the Gazan, the Nixon, the Ones, and the different nuances of potentially not violating actual by Rabbi Matzeh, and yet, according to many, the Chametz still being Aser. So it could be that the connection between the actual real violation of by Rabbi Matzeh and the Knas may not be as unclear as it would appear from the Gemara. There's one last clue that relates to that the Rambam quotes based on Yerushalmi, that what if the person didn't violate by Rabbi Matzeh Mizaraisa? The reason why he didn't violate it is because he was Mavatlos Chametz. The only thing is that he did violate the Issa D'Rabbanan of owning Chametz, of having Chametz around, even post-Bittul. The Gemara Pesach of Avdala tells us that Midarais of Bittul B'Yamasagim in HaTorah, Bittul Chametz solves the world's problems, either because it fulfills Tashbisu, or because it declares the Chametz to be Hefker, so it circumvents by Rabbi Matzeh. Whatever the longest in the Rishonim is as to why that phenomenon is true, that Bittul solves the world's problem, the Torah, Lamaisa does. But Midaraisa, as long as he was Mavadah, the Chametz is home free. And yet the opening mission of Sahel tells us that all our bosses break it and come to an end. The Rabbanan Chazal instituted that you have to get on your hands and knees, get onto the beds, and check the books and the crannies, etc. To do the mitzvah of the Vigas Chavim. So what would it be if a person did what he's supposed to do on a level of their Isa, but didn't do what he was supposed to do on a level of their Rabbanan? So maybe we can argue that he didn't technically violate Bali Rabbi Mosai. Then I'm sorry, yes, we're showing it. So again, the rights of the Rav Masagi, but he violated. I wouldn't call it violating by Rabbi Matzeh. He violated the first mission of Sachem. So the Mishami says that's also a kenas, and you can't set up a halacha that as long as you did the deraisa, then you're okay. That's not the way the halacha works. It means that once the chamu v'sachem that you have to do bedikas chametz, so then we're not going to let you get away with just merely doing bitul chametz. So even though the fellow who did bitul chametz technically didn't violate by Rabbi Matzeh, we're going to make a kenas of this chametz as well. Then the Achranim of Shaila, what if the person, not only did he fulfill the Din Deraisa, he even fulfilled the Din Derabbanan? The only problem is that he didn't do it. He thought he did a good job, but at the end of the day, there was Taka Chametz left. At the end of the day, he did his Bittul, and he did his Bedik, and then all of a sudden comes Motzei Yom, as he's putting away the Pesach dishes, he finds, lo and behold, that Taka there was a box of cookies that was stashed away somewhere. So, mid-October, he didn't violate by Rabbi Motzei. With the Rabbanan, you could argue, he kind of did what he was supposed to do. He thought he did a good bedikah. He tried his best. On the other hand, he had chametz in his rishos. Now again, it wasn't the rice to get chametz because he was mevatelit, but tachlis, bottom line, he had chametz in his rishos on Pesach. So now, it's too late to do anything with it. He can't burn it. What's he going to do? Burn it now? Chametz Pesach is over. So he wants to know, is it mutabah or osmano? Can he eat the cookies or not? So Sabach heard him say, yeah, he can eat the cookies. You know why? Because this is better than Chomesh Shirak Bitel. This is Chomesh Shabitel. V'Chomesh Shabodet Acharav. V'lo Matzah. Because he thought he did, and he does, a make-believe, a fake Bedikas. Come on, the legs, he didn't do a Bedikas. But if he does a real bona fide Bedikas and Alpha Bichain, he still is. So then, Samach read him right. So what do you want from me? Did it? V'chol Shetziv Sater. V'chol Shetziv V'chachamim. What? We don't generally make knas on people who are good guys. That's a good guy. He did everything. He did knas on the people. Another Achronim say, no, he's a great guy. He's a tzaddik yisrael olam. But Afa Pichein, tachlis, there was chametz in the Jewish home. And that didn't belong to a goy. It would have been sold to the goy or something else. But it wasn't sold to the non-Jews. If chametz in a Jewish home that was nisbatel, that was nivdak acharav, that sof kol sof was there, that chametz is aser because of chametz of the Pesach. So that's a big machlokes Achronim, how far we go in terms of this kenas of chametz of the Pesach. For us, probably the stakes are a little bit less because most of us do Mechiras Chametz anyway. So even though it's true, when we do Mechiras Chametz, we write into the document, we're leaving Chametz in this closet, in this cabinet, but we also write in, and any Chametz found anywhere in our Rishos, it should also be covered by the Mechira. If we think about it technically, not only have we gotten around by Rabbi Matzah to Bitla Bedika, we've also gotten around to Mechira. So technically speaking, if we find a box of cookies on Matzah Yantif, what we did was find Mr. Brown's cookies. That in and of itself probably shouldn't pose a problem at all. Yeah, it's a very, very tricky situation because let's say I find those cookies on Pesach. So now what do you do? So I find a box of cookies sitting stashed away in the top of my closet, something I totally forgot about, on the third day of my Pesach. So is that the halakha equivalent of the motzei chametz for Pesach? Should you get rid of it? Should you burn it right away? Otherwise, I say, wait a second. You're going to burn that chametz? You're a goslin. You're burning Mr. Brown. Who are you going to burn Mr. Brown's chutzpah? You're going to burn Mr. Brown's chametz. So now, all of a sudden, Mechira's chametz throws a monkey wrench into everything we've been learning. When you learn two sugyas of chametz, so first you have to learn as was practiced with Bara Gemara, and then what's been practiced since the 1600s. Until the 16th, 1700s, whatever it was, nobody did Mechira's chametz. The Tosefta speaks about Mechira's chametz for the one guy who was on a boat, and he forgot to get rid of his chametz, and now he realizes it's Gevalt Erev Pesach. So what's he going to do? So Morchol Yachom. So Tosefta speaks about the possibility for the one crazy Meshuggah. One guy's on the cruise. He's going on the Pesach cruise, and he forgot to sell his chametz. So he should do mechiras chametz for the hamonam. Who was doing bedikah? Who was doing mechiras chametz? You were bevatei your chametz. You were burning. You were doing bedikah's chametz. You were burning your chametz. You were eating your chametz. Whatever. And that's it. There wasn't that much. Later, when the Jews started getting into the schnapps business and other food businesses, so then mechiras chametz became what was bezman chazal for once in a blue moon became normal practice. So Bizman Chazal that people weren't doing Mechiras Chametz. So a guy finds Chametz in Pesach, it's a potential disaster. Maybe it's by Rabbi Matzik or Flachliat that also Bizman Hazah. Guy finds Chametz in Pesach. Good, put it in the closet, leave it with the guys. So others are very weary about that. So I found the Chametz. I'm just gonna, it's a big game. I find the Chametz in my Pesach closet. Shh, it's quickly open up the Chametz closet, throw the Chametz. I'm sure it's So many people have the practice when they find chametz in Pesach, they burn it anyway. You're a gazan, you're stealing from the goy. So I can't speak on behalf of all goy, but I can speak on behalf of Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown has given express consent that anyone who finds chametz in an unexpected place on Pesach, even though it is Mr. Brown's chametz, so the person doesn't have to feel guilty about violating by Rabbi Malzik. If it bothers him to have that chametz in the house, like it should, so Mr. Brown has consented that you have his permission to destroy that chametz also. So he's Baruch Hashem, we have plenty of other schnapps he can collect from, other catering establishments he can collect from. So he's Meichel on your three cookies that you find, and he's more than happy. If you feel that it's just not in the spirit of your Passover to leave chametz around the house, because sometimes he's more than willing to be mivat. That's what we tell people to do. Bizman is atachas. If you find chametz in Pesach, we tell you to get rid of it in whatever shape or form you're able to. The worst case scenario is the guy who finds chametz on Pesach that wasn't covered by the Mechiras chametz. And for that matter, wasn't covered by the Bitul chametz. And wasn't covered by the Bedikas chametz. What is that? The guy who bought chametz on Pesach. That's for this disaster. The guy who buys the chametz in the matzah mills or the breadcrumbs or anything along the way by mistake. He went to the store his wife sent him to the store, and he bought the wrong object. You have to be very, very. I always tell people when they ask me, Rabbi, what should be most machped on in Pesach? What's the most important chumra in Pesach? The fiyani is the IT, the most much more important than how much aluminum foil you have in your sinks. The most important thing is to look at every product that comes into your house. I said, don't assume that anything is kosher just because it's in the most high-mish of stores and the most high-mish of aisles. Don't assume that it's kosher on Pesach. Everything should be looked at because mistakes happen. Those who remember last year, those who were around Pesach, we spoke about the fiasco of the chametz kishkas that showed up in a very, very from store, not all that far from here, and it was a mistake. Mistakes happen. Baruch Hashem, that mistake, all's well that ends well. Some of you may remember that there were 12 kishkas that were delivered that were chametz gomer, mamish flour, that were in the store being sold on Pesach, on Chol HaMoed Pesach. And when they came to the realization that they had received the wrong order, there were 12 kishkas had come in, and now there were only 11 kishkas left in the store, which leads us to believe that one person had bought the kishka. That's the bad side. This is one of the few times you can hear from me a Bidish Kruch, the modern technology in this one. They were able to track who bought the kishka. They checked the credit card, checked the cash register receipts, and they were able to track down exactly who bought it. They immediately contacted that person, and they hadn't yet made the kishka. They were about to. It was erev the last day of the Pesach. They were about to. They caught the person before they come and stopped. The Rebbe's mom traipsed up their entire Pesach kitchen. So Baruch Hashem, all's well that ends well in terms of that kishka. So one should try to be careful when they purchase. If you have any suffix as to what to buy, so call your wife. It's off the record. Not doing Pesach. Those who want to see the more humorous side of the Savlovsky home, I don't want to tell the story, but it's just a cute story. So, unfortunately, that would be the segue into our next sugya. So, it's Fresh Friday. My wife sent me to the store for a couple extra frantic bags of rice before the Shabbaton. So, she told me to get this and this kind of rice because I get there's 1,600 different possibilities. So, I called her. So, she said, just quickly take a picture of it. And send me the pictures. I've done that many times already in the store. For some reason, I took the picture, and somehow my email wasn't, I don't know what happened, it wasn't getting the right connection, and it wasn't going through. So she said, try again. I emailed, I texted, I don't know, my phone was like froze, nothing was happening. So she came up with the next solution. She said, please just FaceTime me, and just turn around the phone to the thing. I kid you not, Rabbi Zalowski was standing in a store in Dinek with his phone, talking to the phone and having the phone directed at the object. And I did get one or two stares and one or two chuckles from people. I was explaining this like new RCPC Ashkacha Prize. I was trying to explain away what I was doing, but so good. Anyway, so the moral of the story is don't find kishka on Facebook unless you know that it's a question. Okay, good. Now we can move on to our to the beginning of the next week.
If you have a Goy's Chametz in your house, you didn't take a price for it, whatever you need. So that's not a problem.
Yeah, as long as it's machitz of 10 tefachim, it's okay. You can't just leave it sitting in your freezer.
So what is the problem? Why did the Rebbe object to my finding chametz that I sent to Mr. Brown and putting it in the chametz cabinet?
Right. So me'ikara did it's okay. We're always like a little bit weary about, you know, here really covering those kinds of things. I find that sort of half a, you know, three cookies somewhere. You know, even though in the end of the day, Mr. Brown is masking, he buys everything, and we even go spell it out. We say, Mr. Brown, are you kona the half boxes of Cheerios? I'm kona the half boxes of Cheerios. Are you kona the garbage that's sitting in the garbage can? Oh, I'm kona the garbage in the garbage can. You know, we go through the whole nine yards. But, you know, somehow in our heart of hearts, we're a little bit nervous that maybe it's a little bit of a lack of smichas das and all these cookie things. But, you know, the half a challah crumb left over from Bedikas Chometz that my kid left in the back of the bathroom or something, you know, that happened a few years ago. So did Mr. Brown really want that? So he claims he does, and, you know, he says he does. So I guess the Ramesh Revelay Vedam Dvarim, as we spoke about a little bit in Shabbos. But, you know, it comes out, we find that I'm always more comfortable. But Lamaisa, when I'm Zev, called me down that frantic night of Chalamayit a few years ago, that I found the 11th bag of the biggest chametz. Some kids apparently didn't know how to count. So I found the 11th bag of Pisa Challah. So the good news was situated in a perfect position. It was in the bathroom. When I was a little kid, I remember there was like an unwritten rule that the 10 pieces didn't go in the bathroom. It was like the Dvarim Shabbat Kedusha. My kids apparently don't have that Messiah. So they stuck one in the bathroom right behind the toilet bowl. And I told them perfect, exactly where it goes. And it went on Chalavar, flushed it, mamash, right down. Okay. So by the way, beginning a new sugya. It starts out as a chametz sugya, but it's very, very quickly going to become almost a kol tarkula sugya. It's a sugya that appears on the chavtesim and aleph. The reason why the Gemara got into it is because of a continuation of something we spoke about actually 2 sugyas ago, was the very unique shita of Rabbi Yaakov, who claims, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that any time you have chametz that's not subject to by Rabbi Motze, it's not subject to an Isra Achila either. And that led Rashi to the remarkable statement that according to that lone sheet that we don't possibly like at all, you can actually eat a goy's chametz on Pesach. You know, we said that was so startling, Tysus couldn't believe it exists because Tysus made a cheshbon. We couldn't figure out how you have a goy's chametz on Pesach. Once you eat it, once you pick it up, it becomes yours. So tell us that a different shot in the Gemara, but the Gemara did entertain the possibility of eating goy's chametz, and what begins the next thing is eating hektesh chametz as well. So in theory, you can have chametz that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Someone who's matnish it to bring as a gift to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash isn't going to be makir, but you can't put chametz in the Mizbeach. They're going to sell and use the money to fix up the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara has the possibility that if you eat such chametz, maybe that's not an issue of Echilus chametz. The same way, shalcha yataron, or taro shalachem shal gevoa, who did not be shalcha yataroichel, or taroichel shalachem shal gevoa. So in the middle of this discussion, the Gemara gets onto a whole tangent about eating Chametz Shel Hekdesh. What are the ramifications of eating Chametz Shel Hekdesh? So at the end of the day, the Horov Achmei Yachav was rejected, and it's the same as the Chametz, same as the Karas and Shoy. But the Gemara now goes off a little bit on, well, what would the din be if a person eats Chametz Shel Hekdesh, not so much in terms of the Chametz problem, but in terms of the Hekdesh problems. Usually, if a person eats, for that matter, benefits anyway, from something that belongs to the base of Mishnah like a din, he's chayv a korban me'ilah. He has to first pay back what he ate, what he benefited. He has to get a chaymesh, and he has to bring a korban. And the question the Gemara now raises is, how does this play out with chametz shel hekdesh on Pesach? Because if you think about it, what's the whole yisod of me'ilah? What does me'ilah really mean? You basically stole. If the base of Mikdash owned something, you took it. Who gave you the right to take it? So you in a sense stole from the base of Mikdash. So one could argue that the issur of me'ilah / gezeilah from the base of Mikdash only makes sense when you stole something that was worth something. If I steal something from you, but it doesn't really have any value, so it's kind of hard to speak about gezeilah. I didn't cause you any damage. I didn't cause you any loss. What I took is a worthless piece of nothing. So chometz on Pesach is, in a certain sense, valueless. It's not even worth a pruta. It's worth nothing. It's also v'chilas v'no. What do you do with it? So the Gemara entertains the question, well, if you go ahead and you did eat the chometz shel hekdesh on Pesach, can we slap you with a korban me'ilah? Maybe the korban me'ilah doesn't apply. So since the chometz doesn't have any value, so you didn't really steal anything, you didn't really take anything, you didn't transgress any isser of taking something away from hekdesh. That's the background of the sugya of chavtes. So the Gemara actually quotes a machlekes atanoim about this very issue. So if you take a look on chavtes and aleph, it's about 10, 12 lines from the bottom. First one is by Yaakov. So this sign, we went to the Braisa. Ha'oichbo chametz shel hekdesh b'moed. The guy eats chametz of hekdesh on Pesach. Ma'al. So according to the Tanakhama, he is in violation of the Ilah. He has to pay the Karen, the Chemish, and the Asham. V'yesh anu lo ma'al. And the other opinion says that he was not ma'al. So the Gemara has a few different possibilities as to what the Kudus HaMachlekes is. So finally, five lines from the bottom, the Gemara has a suggestion of Rav Yosef Amar. Bepoldin es hakotchim lachilan leklovim kamifugi. From left field, Rav Yosef gives us an explanation of this braisa. So Rashi adds a little bit to what Rav Yosef said. Basically, Rav Yosef says, anyone who's even discussing the possibility of me'ilah by being nana, eating a nana from chametz on Pesach, by definition must hold that chametz on Pesach is worth something. If you hold that chametz on Pesach is off limits, totally and completely, it's asav yachila, asav ano, the works, then it's a moot discussion, and the braisa doesn't even get off the ground. How can you begin to discuss being chayav me'ilah on something that's valueless? So how does that fit into our understanding of chametz? We all know that chametz is asav ano. Well, we all know that, but there's one tattle who didn't know that. Rabbi Yossi Aglili stood in stark contrast to everybody else. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, it doesn't say in the Chumash, you're not allowed to be nana from chametz and Pesach. Just check the psukim. What does the Torah say? Lo ye'ochel chametz, ki kala ochel machmetzes, lo seichel lo chametz, ki kala ochel chametz v'nichrisa. Never does the Torah say anything about hana. So how do we know, how do the rest of the Torah know that chametz and Pesach is osav hana? So you may remember back to the beginning of last year, now Chafalaf, there was a Machlekes Amarayim. What is the source that Chametz is also Bana? So one time, one Amar says, well, the Torah says, Lo ye ochel Chametz. In one place, it doesn't say Lo socho Chametz, it says Lo ye ochel. Lo ye ochel has the connotation, the rules are different, even when Rabbos Hanok. That's Chizkiya's understanding. And Rabbi Abba is a different shot. Rabbi Abba says whenever it says Achila, Achila also means Hanah, based on another psukim. So the 99.999% of Chachmei Mishnah and Gemara wrote the opinion that Chametz and Pesach is also Hanah Midarais, and that's unequivocally how we pass. It's not even a Shaila that we pass like that, but there was a dissenting view. And that dissenting view is Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, that Chametz and Pesach was Mutav Hanah, a little strange, much. That's what the Gatani Slav disagreed. He had Chametz and Pesach as Taka Mutav Hanah. So comes Rav Yosef and says, this entire discussion of the Braisa about yes being moel and not being moel is assuming that there's a heter hanah. If there's no heter hanah, then the question's a moot question. There's a heter hanah. So if there's a heter hanah, so shouldn't it translate to mean that there is me'ilah? Shouldn't that be obvious? If there is a heter hanah, what can prevent you from being moel? So Rav Yosef says, the issue is a totally different issue. Namely, There's a din that when you have a Dovah Shel Hekdesh, what gives a Dovah Shel Hekdesh almost value to it? Why is it, what do you mean it belongs to Hekdesh? It's value. What in the world is the basic mitzvah going to do with a piece of bread? What are they going to do with a piece of wood? What are they going to do with a brick? So some things they can mamish use to build with, but most things they're not. The guy's makdish a car to the base of mikdash. What's the base of mikdash going to do with it? The guy's makdish a slice of pizza to the base of mikdash. What are they going to do with it? So the answer is they're going to sell it. They're going to redeem it. And they're going to use that money for whatever needs that the hekdash, the better gavayis needs. So the whole mumminess, so to speak, the whole value, the whole economics of the base of mikdash is always one eye towards pidyon. If and when we can be paid it, then and only then, it's going to be actually worth something to us. So now we have a very, very funny thing. Comes the Beis HaMikdash, and somebody gives them a pizza pie a week before Pesach. So this pizza belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, it's hectic to cut it with this device. What they should have done, if they were smart, if the Gizmo was paying attention, he should have sold it at Pesach. It's a good time to sell pizza, make a lot of money. So he somehow didn't do that. He's outsmarted us. He stashed it into the freezer like all the pizza stores do for the Matzah Pesach rush. That's what he does. Everyone knows, by the way, in case you want fresh pizza in Matzah Pesach, don't come to the pizza store. That's the last place to go. All the pizzas that you eat in Matzah Pesach were all made a week before. If you ever wonder how they're open 10 minutes after taste and there are 40 pies there, they were all made beforehand and stuffed into the freezer. Like, don't tell anybody. Okay, anyway, so I almost was able to have my share of all the pizzas I wanted in Matzah Pesach. 3 years ago, one of the pizza stores in town, I told over the store in Shul, one of the pizza stores in town, so the owner was going to be in the West Coast for Yom Tov, but he wanted to buy back the pizza store, right after the safe's here. The problem was we couldn't do that to him because for him it was the Pesach, so we couldn't. The only way for him to be able to open up the store was he had to transfer ownership on the entire pizza store to somebody else. So I think I was offered ownership of that pizza store. I declined. I didn't get involved in pizza stores with my pizza. Anyway, enough trouble supervising pizza stores. I don't want to mention owning pizza stores. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the story. So the Beis HaMikdash has this Gewaltig pizza pie, and Pesach just came. And we're trying to figure out, is this pizza worth anything to the Beis HaMikdash or not? Why do we care? Because somebody went ahead and made it b'shegeg. So we want to hold somebody accountable for me'ilah. We can only hold him accountable for me'ilah if the pie is actually worth something. So if you deny Rabbi Yosef Glili, it's worthless, it's not to discuss. But even in the worldview of Rabbi Yosef Glili, we're not so sure this pizza is really worth anything. Why? The only thing that gives monetary value to this pizza, the only thing the Beis HaMikdash can do with this pizza, they can be paid it. The Lu Yitzuya, the Gizba, the treasure of the Beis HaMikdash, would have wanted to hold this pizza on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Could he have done such a thing? Would such an entity have existed to be paid the pizza on Chol HaMoed? So the Gemara says, normally when you pull the kachim, so you have to pull the kachim for normal use. Pull it as a kachim, let's say if you have an animal, something you pull it to use it, to shecht it, to eat it like a normal one. Is there a concept of being pull the kachim, lachil leklovim? Now, klovim, we don't have anything against the dogs. The dogs are just an illustration, an example. I'm going to be pulled in Dov Shel Hekdesh to basically use it in a very, very bizarre manner. The regular way of using it, my hands off. I'm not allowed for some technical halakhic reason. So, do we even have the right to be pulled as a klovim, lachil leklovim? So, that happens to be a machlekes atanoim, Maseches Becharis. Can you do pidyon for a very, very limited scope, very, very limited purpose? Maybe the parsha pidyon was only given for normal pidyon that's going to result in the achila, the actual normal usage of that item. So comes Rav Yosef and says,
Is there a question being limited in scope, or is it a bizayon that you?
So the truth is that the original din was actually talking about the hamas, which are more of a bizayon, and then Taisa shows you this is almost an extension of that din. It's a little bit of a stretch of what the original din of Ein Poltin was, and there's a little Taisa there that talks about the rices, the rabbanon, and the bottom of the Tzal. I'm trying just to streamline it out of the me'ilah part back to the chametz part. So the Gemara finally concludes and says that if you hold that Poldin is a kosher lachin leklavim, then the Chomish Shel Hekdesh has value, and it has value, so Memela, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not a different deal of the problem. If you hold that ain't Poldin is a kosher lachin leklavim, so the Beis HaMikdash couldn't do anything with this pizza anyway. What do you do with the pizza? The pizza's worth it. You can't eat it, and to give it to the dogs, you're not allowed to be paid to give it to the dogs anyway, so it's tantamount to saying it's worthless. So that's where the Gemara ends, with this discussion. Very, very dachas, like a shiloh, about the guy who ate the chametz of the Beis HaMikdash on Pesach, Zichai Ve'ila. It all boils down to a question, is it worth something or not?
Non-Jews are not allowed to be paid that.
Non-Jews, I mean, a non-Jew in theory could be paid there, but I think we have to talk about it from our vantage point. From our vantage point, it's not royal kach to be worth anything. You're right. In theory, you could have a goy group paid there. You're right.
The Beis HaMikdash is allowed to have the chametz?
Yeah, because chametz shall gavo is mutter, so by Rabbi Matzi. So here's the nakuda that we want to focus on. This is all the introduction to sugya. Now the background's over, now we begin our sugya. So the bottom of Chavtas and Aleph, Tosis asks a bar kasha on the entire sugya. Tosis asks, ain't point, tailoring. How about the ain't point? Even that you're not allowed to be paid in this pizza. Nimble, they should still be me'ili. Why? This pizza has value to it. You know in what sense? Ali Acha Shemisra Fenasa Efer Yachalif Dois. It's mutter banal. It's going to be totally mutter. After you burn it, it's going to be mutter. Now this is a that may be questionable whether Efer Chametz is mutter or also. We spoke about this last year already, but at least according to many opinions, once it's burnt, the Efer is mutter. The Ash is a mutter. If the Ash is a mutter, so then the Beis HaMikdash could do something with it. The Gemara is focusing on the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have any monetary stake in this pizza. This pizza is worthless. You can't eat it, you can't pay it, you can't give it to them. Nothing. You know, what do you mean you can't do anything with it? Burn it and turn it into ashes. You can get loads of money on the market for ashes. That's Tosis Kasha. Turn it into ashes. So Tosis says, V'yei Shloimah, at the top of Chavdes and the Beis, the Kaman to Kemoshu Achshav lo Shavimidei lo Shaychimei Me'ilah. Tosfos says Hilchos Be'ila is decided by now, not decided on putting it into a fire and coming back in an hour from now. If it's turned to ashes, what's its status going to be? Right now, as a pizza, it's worthless. You're not allowed to eat it. You can't be paid it to feed to the dogs. It is worthless, says Tosfos. The fact that, in theory, if it's thrown into the fire and turned to ashes, that doesn't impact on the shayla and the here and now. That's the assertive Tosfos. So you may be wondering, okay, when was the last time we had a paskin from the evil Shiloh and Chometz for Pesach? It says, Tosas, now listen to the potential application. The Hainu Nabi Taino, based on what we just said, this is the reason the whole Isuria Noah, a Mekacha Behera Isha, from left field, Tosas jumps from Mesechus Pesachim to Mesechus Kedushin. There's a Mishnah Mesechus Kedushin that says that you can't be Mekadosh and Isha with Isuria Noah. Frek Tosas, why not? Afogav, the whole Nishraf and Ephraim Mutter. There are many of the Isuri Hana'ah that if you burn them, the ashes become mutter. The Mishnah says the rule is, call an Israf and Ephron mutter, call an Ibar and Ephron Asar. Certain Isuri Hana'ah are supposed to be disposed of through Sreifa, others through Kvura. Anyone that's supposed to be disposed of through Sreifa, the corollary is, the Afer is mutter. Orla, Kilya Kerem, quite possibly Chomus and Pesach, according to some. So says Taisus, how could the Mishnah say with a straight face, and the Kaddish be Isuri Hana'ah, Einam the Kodeshis? The Maturin is the Alma, because the Kedushin is Bachlum or Votol. Says Taisus, what are you talking about? What do you mean the Kedushin is Bachlum or Votol? It's a Shavuot Pruta. It's worth a lot of money. It's worth a Pruta. It's Pruta. If you burn it, and you use the ashes become Mutter. Now you can use the ashes to sell, to make the old days, make soap out of the ashes. You can make clean off kind of things that we use the ashes for. So says Taisus, you can sell the ashes. So how can Chazal disqualify the Kedushin? How can they say, Enim Kedushin? What's fine, Enim Kedushin? What are you talking about? It's not true. The ashes are worth something. That tells us cash. Tosis says the answer must be that just as in Hilchos Me'ila ain't done El Lefi Shaito, we paskin are based on the here and now, not on the potential Mosreifa, who would deny me. When it comes to Kedusha, we paskin based on the here and now.
Why paskin is not potential for value.
I mean, you want to know what? Right. So Dr. Fish is saying, Tosas just proved it, and now you're asking, but why? Tosas proved it from two cases. They proved it from the Sugya about Ila, that Chazal ignored the ability to burn, and they proved it from the Sugya in Kedusha, where Chazal ignored the ability to burn as well. So Dr. Fish is asking, why do you ignore it? Taka, why? Taka, be smart. Why do you ignore it? Taka, good kasha. A very good kasha. Why do you ignore it? I don't know. Not sure yet.
2 weeks ago we were talking about Dover Gon Mamon Kamamon Dami. Is that
so? Tosis throws that in. Tosis says, "Ba'filu Dover Gon Mamon Kamamon Dami, Uma Lo Dami Dasam Chazan Achaveshu Kvo Be'en." Tosis says it's still not the same because Dover Gon Mamon always means the same object. It's just something's going to change in terms of it's going to cause me down the line some kind of a loss. Here, the only thing that's going to add value to these ashes is the physical act of burning them. So Taisa says, "Don't take mechusa maisa." That's whatever hasn't happened yet. We can't. The halachas that mesiaches do. The halachas mesiaches that are here and now. Not we don't look to the future. Talk to your mishum kechel. We don't dorish asidus. Is that strange? That's what Taisa says. Two rayas.
The pizza pies may be worth money after Pesach. Maybe it's important to say you have to look at it here and now.
Right. You mean in theory, you hold the chosen on a Pesach.
Something has a future value.
Right.
Okay. Sell the pizza pie.
Tosis is showing you from these gemaras that appears that's not the case. Everything depends upon now. But now Tosis backs out.
I just want to understand. So we said before that Chamesh Levoah is mutter. So why are we? I mean, why is it Rabbi who's eating? Why is it?
No, it's mutter by Rabbi Vatzei. Because at the end of the day, we pass because there is an Isra Chilz Chametz. Rav Acha ben Yaakov thought maybe not, and that the Gemara ultimately rejected it. So you're right. By Rabbi Vatzei, 100% right. But now we entered into the Isra Chilz Chametz. So Tosis was very confident with their first teretz, and now they begin to show a little bit of less confidence. The Eidish, though, we could skip down, drop in the Tosis. It's the end of the first of the skinny lines of Tosis. The Eidish line is the Tosis. Maybe the Raya that we brought from Eimakachi B'Suriya Noah may not be as convincing. The Eidish line. Had the Eimakachi B'Suriya Noah had a hechad the lace base of a pruta l'chshe Eifer. Tosis says, you know what? Maybe the reason why the woman is not Mekudeshes because of the ashes is that in Ochinami she will be Mekudeshes. If the ashes would be worth a pruta, you know, you take one apple shorla, it's worth a nickel, and you burn it. How much are the ashes worth? What do you know about great things? It's like Gemara Beitza talks about medicinal values of the ashes, and the Gemara Shabbos talks about the detergent you can use it. A lot of things you can use the ashes for. A lot of things they did use the ashes for in the old days. Fertilizer, a lot of things potentially you can use the ashes for. Says Tosis, but not every 2 cent apple is going to come for the pruta's worth of ashes. So Tosis says that maybe the raya from a kaddish for oil of kinekem is not a raya. Maybe hachamayis kida the ashes were not a pruta. But Tosis is now willing to say to the Eidei Shloimar, exactly what Dr. Fisher said, that maybe a hanami, that maybe value is determined by the future as well. Maybe burning, if luyutsu that the burning has value, so then maybe a hanami. So now, so Tosis is kind of at a crossroads. Tosis knows this piece of information. The Mishnah says that if Mekadesh with Yisurna ain't Mekadesh. That's a fact. You can't argue with those facts. And Tosis is posing the question, the challenge to that din, that the ashes could be worth something down the line. So Tosis had two approaches to the ashes scenario. One approach was, yes, we call it Lomdash Teretz or something, Yisayistik Teretz, namely, that value is determined by the here and now, not by the future. That was a Lomdash Teretz, supported by Chavtes and Afim Sachim. And then, what we call almost like the Metzias Teretz, the Yaiti Shleimar, is that Yitaka Rahim, the condition would be Chal, if the ashes were worth the Pruta. But, so we knew they're not really worth the Pruta. That's the Yaiti Shleimar. Whenever we see these two, we always, you know, like the Yeshivish, you like the Lomdash Teretz. We always get a little nervous about the more Metzias-oriented Teretzim. But Tosis, doesn't have our prejudices. Tosis is trying to free off the emesis. That's their goal. So Tosis says, we're going to prove to you that the second teretz is the more correct teretz. So Tosis, why? Well, the teretz kama, so the end of the teretz, the teretz kama kosher. Hachazi de'ein ve'eshalok ederech hanok. Tosis says, no matter what, you have to deal with the following challenge when we talk about kedusha b'isri hanok. Frekta is a new kash. Give it to Eifer. Why is the woman not mekudeshes? She could use it shalok ederech hanah. Don't we all know that shalok ederech hanah is mutter? So she could use it shalok ederech hanah. So why isn't that? Why isn't that a method of kedushin? So Tosis says, according to the second teretz, we can give the same, in a sense, mitzias answer. Ederech hanami, we could, but it's one apple, and using it shalok ederech is going to be shy of a pruta. It's going to be less than a pruta. So the same way that the hocham amayaskinon, Eifer is going to be less than a pruta. The shalok ederech is going to be less than a pruta as well. So if you go with the second what we call, for lack of a better term, the mitzias to get teretz, you know, the hachamai skin and teretz. So that hachamai skin and teretz is going to solve both kashas. Because there are really two glaring problems with the Mishnah and Kedushin. One is, you can burn it, so the ashes are worth something. The oydish lahakshos, shaloki derech is worth something. You can kill two birds with one stone. Knock them all, both off by saying, you're right, if you had 1,000 apples, maybe you'd be right, but you have one apple in front of you. If you go with the lomdashi, you say this to get derech, that apidin, ashes don't matter, because the ashes are a thing of the future, they don't exist now. That's nice vis-a-vis the ashes, but that doesn't solve the other problem. Doesn't address the issue of Shalom Kederach. Because Shalom Kederach, Rabbi Yisai, is here and now. It's right in front of us right now. So Tosus, because of that kasha of Shalom Kederach, was willing to side with the second Teretz, the Matzias Teretz, over the Lomdash Teretz. Ad kan diri Tosus.
I mean, would he have to be the Kadeshus, the Yisha, by saying, you know, with the Hanav, you're using a Shalom Kederach?
So Stephen's saying, I don't understand the Tosus with Chilav Ad Soif. That's what you're really saying with that Kasha.
Okay,
I'm putting those words in at the email. Stephen saying, wait a second. Stop the Tosus, stop. This train is going downhill too fast. Okay, wait a second. Tosus, correct the Kasha. Every time you make Kasha, you should with Orla. She should be Mekudeshes. Forget about the Orla. She should be Mekudeshes with Tom the Afer. And Thais is bending over backwards to explain to you why that doesn't work. So one beer was, it really should work, but it's less than Shura Pruta. And the other teretz is, because you're only based on what's here and now, to which Thais says that only answers one of the kashas, doesn't answer the other kasha. And Thais why it's so here and in fact. So Stephen said, I understand. Maybe you're not enough. If the guy would be standing under the chuppah and give her the apple and say, listen, I can't find the ring. All I have is an apple in my pocket, and the apple happens to be Orla. And the Mishnah says in the Senos Kedushin, you give a cash and issue with Orla. Listen, don't make a fuss. Get married. Our parents are getting very, very upset at us if we cancel this wedding because we can't find a ring. It's very simple. I'm going to give you this apple, but let me tell you what you're going to get out of this apple. To eat the apple, now you can't. To be nan of the apple, sell to a girl, you can't. But listen what you can get out of this apple. You could potentially burn it, and use it for its afer and clean your clothes with it, whatever you want to do with your afer, fertilize your fields with it. Or what you could do is you could use a shalai kederach hano, I don't know, you'll smear it on your body, so you'll figure out an eitz would do with the apple or the jam or something. And harev kadesh will with that gevaldika hano of pruta. So Stephen's saying, inochinami, vishtay in the Mishnah that doesn't work. We have to say the Mishnah that's not good. The Mishnah says, for the guy who's been mekadesh to isha with an apple, and she thinks she's getting an apple, and then an hour later he tells her, by the way, you didn't really get an apple, all you got was the ability to turn it into afer and get one measly pruta. You got the ability to shmir on your skin, shloki derech hano. You want to make a chtosh, you want to kiddush tos. That sounds like a pretty big kiddush tos. So Stephen's challenging the whole premise of Tosfos. So guess what? You're not the only one to challenge it. Tosfos themselves in other places challenges it. Other Rishonim say, the Kushim Mikra, the whole dilemma, these challenges, these great perplexing kashas of Tosfos, and Nishkin kashas, that are not Hanami, that if you would have verbalized the Kedushin the right way, Tapalim Rebbe Kadesh, the reason why you don't Kadesh, the whole thing is one big fat Mikra Tos. Good Taina. For Rabbi Yisai, I want to take this Tosfos now, and really take it to the main thrust of Esau and answer the Tosfos kasha. Because again, Tosfos was bothered with this bomb kash. It's really Kedushin Sugya to them. How come Misha says you can't be Makash with this Serena Noah? Fractisis, what happened to the Noah's Afer? To Terutzim, either it's not worth the Pruta, or it's Al Shem, Ha'asid, B'nev L'Hashem Ha'asid, doesn't count. Comes the Ritva, I put it on the Marmot Premis, comes the Ritva, Masana's Kedushin. Comes the Ritva in the Seder's Kedushin. Let's see which slide it was. I put both pages on, right? Okay, so it's the end of the you probably have the first column, the last two lines, second line of the line, Mori Narum, you have that line?
Mori
Tiris Defilke. Mori not Derchmanu Parke. So that's refers to his Rebbe. His Rebbe was the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah was the Talmud of the Ramban. Mori Tiris. The Afilu Yesh be Ephraim Shavakrut. He's answering Tarsus' dilemma. Hey, the ashes have a pruta. Says the Ra'ah, no. The condition still won't be chal. You know why? Kevan the Lehashta Leis Luhudin Mamon. Since right now it's not worth money. Now, if you would just stop then and there, what do you think the Ritvos is really saying? Sounds eerily familiar to Tosfos, right? Sounds like he's focusing on the here and now. But listen to the end of how he formulates his teretz. The chisorif luhu levarinu, because when the guy goes ahead and starts to burn it, lav didaininu, it doesn't belong to him. The apple of Orla is not his. Why is it not his? Before he begins to give it to us. It's not his. And therefore, Lu Yitzu, you would put this apple into the fire. Who owns those ashes? Nobody. It's a free-for-all. So what's the Kiddushin is that? The first question in the Masada Kiddushin asked the Chosen, does this ring belong to you? Which means, does it belong to you and are you giving to this girl? It's not going to belong to her. So when you makadosh an isha with an apple, not of Orla, the answer is, yeah, I bought the apple in the store and I'm giving it to her, it's going to belong to her. When I makadosh with Orla, so mitam the Orla itself, the apple itself, is clearly not makadosh, but it's also bano. The best we could do is, makadosh, I'll shame the afer. Zok the ritva, what do you mean I'll shame the afer? The afer is not his, not hers. The afer is whoever grabs the afer first. He didn't give her anything. You know why it wasn't his afer? Because it wasn't his apple, because the apple was also bano. So that's a completely different route than Tosfos. The Tosfos didn't say anything like that. We just read the Tosfos together in Pesachim. Tosfos said that in Hilchos Shavuos, everything is determined by the here and now. Tosfos didn't start telling you stories about when you burn it, it's not really yours. Tosfos didn't tell you a Megillah about the Eifer Kol HaKadim Zocha. I didn't see a word, any of that mentioned by Tosfos B'chol. I saw it in the Ritva, the name of the Rabbi, I didn't see a word of that by Tosfos. Why not? The Ritva's gewaldic. There are all such a gewaldic teretz. What's everyone drinking a cup? We spent 25 minutes giving you one teretz of Tosfos, another teretz of Tosfos. Stephen gave me a teretz. Everyone's giving you different teretz. What's wrong with the Ra'ah's teretz? Isn't there 100% right? The apple's not yours, and when you burn it, the ashes aren't yours? What's the answer?
But the second you try to be makasher, it is yours. I mean, it's hefker at that point.
But I'm going to stop you on that one. But I'm going to stop you on that one. Who says it's hefker? Why is it hefker? Because it's, why doesn't it belong to you?
As soon as your moel, it belongs to you.
No. Yes, I got an apple of Orla.
No, but I'm saying the same
thing. I have Basim Bechalov. I have a Dover of Asim
I'm
going to ask even stronger. Who says I'm not Zoychana now? Who says it doesn't belong to me now? You know who says it? The Rahal says it. But guess what? Nobody else said that. Tosfos, who asked the Kasha, Tosfos conceived a potential kedusha with ashes, and according to one day of Tosfos, there would be if the ashes would debuch be worth enough. Or according to the other Tosfos said that if you just tell it that's your intention, maybe it'll talk will work. Tosfos has no qualms with being makadosh with the ashes, because they had no qualms with being makadosh with the apple either. Because the apple does belong to the chassan. The reason why in kedusha Tosfos is because it's not a sheva fruit. But it's not that it's not yours. The Ra'ah was the first Rishon we've seen tonight to introduce to us this new Yisrael in Nuchas Yisrael. No, he said it. Lav di day ninu b'chol ha'kodem zoch b'yefron. I don't think Tosfos would say kol ha'kodem zoch b'yefron. I am certain Tosfos wouldn't say that.
Tosfos
would say
because Tosfos has the second piece in there about shalik derech hanah. Is that going to be ever? How can he ever be mekadosh shalik derech hanah?
Yeah, it's not yours. Yeah, 100%. Then he's just strengthening our argument. The Bali of Tosfos are talking about possibilities of kedushin. But so it's not yours? Didn't they ask the chassanim under the chuppah, is this ring yours? So the answer is, of course they asked that question, I mean, in theory. And the answer is, yeah, it is his. I tell someone, no, who cares? According to Tosfos, Makadosh B'Shur no Enim Kodeshes is not a chisor in the Bailos of the Chefza. It's a chisor in the Shabbos of Shabbat Pruta.
what you can't use is not worth a Sheva Pruta. Therefore, Tosis bent over back and said, well, you can use it if you make ashes. You can use it if you do a Sheva Pruta. No, Tosis is trying every corner, every klutz, every way to circumvent the lack of Shavias. And some parents in Tosis says, no, no, that's going to work sometimes, every once in a while. If you can get around the Shavias issue, it'll work. The Ra'ah says the issue is mamish dead on arrival. The Ra'ah says, what do you, there's nothing to talk about, it's not yours. Not only is it not yours, the Eifes Vaitin not yours, because the Surinam not yours. So Rabbi said, what's now emanating from this machlokes of Rishonim is something, I told you before, the sugya starts in Pesachim with a wild shout of Yidin Chamash Al Hekesh and Pesach about Me'ila, entered into Masechta Kedushin, and now becomes a fundamental question. Are Yisurin not yours or not? A Dov Rosma, I have a cheeseburger, is it mine or not? It's also said, no, but is it mine?
Chametz also a big example
of course that. This is going to impact on Chametz, yeah. But we have to stay away from Chametz for a minute. Analyze the Orla, and then hopefully mention him come back to them. So there is a pivotal Gemara about this topic. It's pivotal because as Machlekes Rishonim, Min HaKotzel HaKotzel, what in the world the Gemara did or did not say, the Gemara was satisfied. Okay. The Gemara is discussing another area of Halacha where ownership is absolutely critical. That is the mitzvah dalaminim. The Torah says, "Tachem lochem, lochem in shel lochem." So we know if you borrow dalaminim, it can be the most beautiful of the rest. You're not yotzei min haTorah. First day, not yotzei min haTorah. Second day, not yotzei min haTorah. So comes the Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah and talks about the esrog shel orla. The esrog is from my tree in my backyard. It's just the first 3 years of fruit. She'asa bechila, asa b'ana. So the Mishnah says in one fell swoop, Esrog shel Orla is possible. So the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Lamed Hamid Aleph wants to know why is that so? Why is Esrog shel Orla? What exactly is the problem? So it comes to Gemara Lamed Hamid Aleph, it's right, Mamash halfway through the page. First word of the line is Ksuse Mech Tshure, where it says shell on the side of the Or. Mamash halfway down. Ksuse Mech Tshure, shel Orla possible. My time. Why? Everyone agrees that's the most possible. Why is it possible? Pliki bar chibur abin rabbi asin. Machlekes amar. Chad amar lefi she'ein b'heter achila. Chad amar lefi she'ein b'din mamon. So one said, well, it's not edible. So it's not edible, you can't be yotzei the mitzvah. Why? We have no idea. The other one said, it doesn't have a din mamon to it. So if it doesn't have a din mamon to it, you can't be yotzei the mitzvah. Why? We're not quite sure. Two different psulim. Ein b'heter achila, ein b'din mamon. Then the Gemara goes to show, well, who cares? At the end of the day, Esrog shel Orla is possible holiday. So why do I care why you formulate it? The Gemara says, no, those two reasons will impact on other types of things. If you have something else that perhaps yesh b'heter achila ein b'din mamon, the Gemara starts over at Ma'aseh Shein, you know, kind of old, complicated sugyas, can tangential to our discussion, and the bottom line went off that emanates from this machlokes. But forget about we don't even understand what the Amorim are talking about. What does the first words mean? Therefore what? Ein b'heter achila, and therefore what? So the Ritva on this subject. On the Flamed Hamid Aleph, the other Ritva there. Starts with the Rimas of Shel Orla. Shel Orla, apostle. Pirush Arayvid, Devarim Kipshutan, Shu also be Achila. When the Gemara says Vishayimba Heter Achila, the words mean what they sound like. It's like a startling statement. Devarim Kipshutan means there's going to be another Pshat, it's going to say Nachashim. It says Arayvid, it means exactly what it sounds like. And therefore what? That's already the addition of the Raivit. The Gemara never said a word about Lochem. The Raivit says the reason why the Halacha requires Heter Achila is because if it's Ein b'Heter Achila, how can you possibly call that Lochem? The Chad Omar, Fish Ein b'Din Mamon. And what in the world does that mean? V'lo karina be'lochem, Lochem lo lochem. So we're going to leave out all the details of Masechah Sukkah right now. What is called Din Achila, not called Din Achila, what's Din Din Achila, Din Mammon. One thing is crystal clear from the Ravid, that this entire sugya in Sukkah Daf Lamed is revolving around one nekuda. Is it called Lachem or not called Lachem? That's the only issue. What criteria you should define Lachem is a complicated sugya, not really a sugya. But one thing is clear, the bottom line reason why Orla is no good, yes, Shal Orla, ultimately is an expression of the Din of Lachem. So comes the Ritva and strongly disagrees with this Ravid. The high pirush is in the next column. Fourth line. Here's the fourth line in the next column. You got it? The high pirush of Lisa, says the Ritva. Chado. Dim Kaim, Sud, Shal Orlam, Shal Truma Temea, other possibilities. Lohavi Elabiyam Rishon. If the problem is a problem of Lachem, so then we all know Lachem is the only problem the first day. The third day, Chal Moed already, there's no problem with Lachem. V'ilutana pasik v'tani, lo shal yantav yishu, lo shal yantav yom she'eni. The Mishnah doesn't sound that way. The Mishnah says in one fell swoop, Esrik shal olas pasul, dumid d'shal ha'shev, shal mitachas. There are other examples in the Mishnah that are clearly pasul for the duration of Sukkis. So that's almost like the Sukkis kasha. That's almost like that's the textual kasha. The Ravid's pshat is assuming that the Esrik shal olas tacha only pasul for the first day, because if it's lachem, it cannot possibly pasul past the first day, and that textually doesn't seem to fit into the rest of the Mishnah. But now we get to the Yesodis thing. So we skip the next line, the Su. Beginning the next line, the Su. The Vade Komide the Habiti Dei Ubir Shusei. The Leis Beis Chusli Acherim. Lachem Karina Bei. What's the Ritva's Kasha? Why is Orla not called Lachem? Says the Ritva. Lachem is defined by it grew in my tree. In my backyard, nobody else has any monetary claim to this esrog. The fact that the esrog is off limits is also be achilu b'ano. So what? True, but irrelevant. Why does the esrog of your day impact chashim mishpat? That's the Ritva's kasha against the Ravid. So the Ritva attacked the Ravid on two fronts. He said textually the Ravid is not correct because the Mishnah says also it means the whole week, and the Ravid's pshat is limited to the first day. The more powerful yeshla hakshos. Is that, wait a second, why is it not Lachem? What makes it Esrik Shalom not Lachem? The fact that it's Asur Bano, I never heard of such a thing since the Ritva. And Israel knows Lamal Lamed in the determining whether something is Lachem. What makes something not Lachem is if it belongs to somebody else, it's not Lachem. If it's your Esrik and I'm borrowing, that's called not Lachem. But if it's Esrik that grew in my tree, in my backyard, it's my fruit, I harvest it, it's sitting in my house, I just can't do anything with it, that's 1000% Lachem. So talk, what's the problem? So he attacked the Ravid's pshat. So what is pshat in the Gemara? So we go to the next paragraph, Hanochem. Says the Ritva, you want to know what the real pshat in the Gemara is? The betruma tmeah ba'orla, we'll stick to the Orla part, kuliyamu l'plig d'psulim kol shiva. It's possible the whole week. You know why? You should do a chazal amidei, the kaimel l'shreifa. What are you supposed to do with the Orla? You're supposed to burn it. The kesuse mechta shirayo. As the Gemara says in other cases, something that's supposed to be burnt, it's over the shreifa, it's as if it's burnt, and what you have in front of you is a pile of ashes. Now maybe in Kedushin, ashes are good for you, but in Esther, it's not too good. So the Torah says, l'kachnam lechem pre-etzada. The Torah doesn't say to pick up a cup full of ashes. What do you mean a cup full of ashes? It's a beautiful yellow Esther with a pitam, it's bumpy, it feels, smells good. What kind of ashes? How dare you call my Esther ashes? If you look at the Esrog through the eyes of the Torah, Shusimetzirei, what's supposed to be burnt is commanded to start, it's as it's burnt, it's ashes right now. And it's Chashon Deshia. You have to take an Esrog that's the size of an Esrog. This is Nishkin Shia Esrog because it's ashes. And comes the Ritva, it's a little bit further on, you know, all the reports, comes the Ritva and says, you want to know what Ein Behetar Achila means? Ein Behetar Achila is a code phrase that means it's Asur B'Hanoah and you better get rid of it. And that's why it's puzzle. Because you have to get rid of it, not because it's not yours. It's 1000% yours. The reason why you can't be yaitse is because it's chashon neshiyah, ksus and mechashiyah. That's the pshat of the Gemara. V'sh'ein behet rechim. Mechleik is the gedeli harishayim. the Ravid against the Ritva. Why am I sharing this with you, this Ritva?
It says not the Ritva.
So, I would say, well, this is the Ritva, and that was the Ritva quoting his Rebbe. But you want to hear what the real steer is? If you skip now to the next column in the Ritva. After he elaborated on his whole attack against the Rebbe, he gave his whole shot. Before the end of that paragraph, of about five lines, Vihine MS, Hine Dochoy, playing the words in the Pasuk, Hine Nevs Dochoy Levar, Mipi Meiri, Nater Chmanu Parke, the Heiligara'a, was the author of this pshat. The Ra'a was the author of this pshat. I wish I could help you. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not the first one to make this, come to this observation, that I don't have no idea how to miyashiv these two statements of the Ra'ah.
Can you verbalize the steerer?
The Ra'ah in Kedushin was the one who said, you want to know why Kedushin is not tofus with the ashes? Because the Surah no don't belong to you. The Ritva, yes, quoting from the Ra'ah, that the Ravi's Pshat is not correct, because the Ra'ah held, Surah no do belong to you. The reason why not yet is Ksusim Rechtashirim, but do they belong to Dini Mamas? They belong to Dini Mamas. So decide, do we see or not? Yes, belong to, they don't belong to you. In one place, the Ritva is quoting this Rebbe that unequivocally they don't, that's the Kedushin, and he has quoted unequivocally that they do. I don't know the answer. At the bottom of the Ritva here, I don't think he points it out. Someone's got to point it out. If I'm not mistaken in the notes here, he points it out. Dasara on, footnote 323. Dasara on, you see it all in Mikri Shalom. What a condition. With a condition of Ben Lusufa, you see it have a happy day. I don't know why he didn't point out that he's quoting from the same Ra'ah. Here, so I can't tell you. So I'll tell you a secret why this stira probably didn't catch the attention of Gedol Yacharonim for many years, for a pure historical reason. The Chidushi HaRitva in Masechet Sukkah, hundreds of years ago, were originally mislabeled. They were printed under the guise of being the Chidushi HaRashba. The old Rashbas, they actually presented as part of the Rashba, and then later they realized that it was a mamish mistake. It was the Ritva. So for many years, this Sefer was referred to as the Chidushi HaRashba. As late as the Ktzais quotes what we would call a Ritva, and he quotes it V'ayin V'Rashba and Sukkah, and he quotes verbatim from this Sefer. It's the wrong Sefer. It wasn't discovered until later that it was mamash a mistake. Some of these Kisvayad, sometimes you had mamash a little bit. It wasn't the first one. The Chidushi HaRashba, the Chashavis was mislabeled. Yeah, Rabbi Chanan, lived already years later. Rabbi Chanan has a list in his introduction to the Kavitz Aras about 10 different Kisvayad and Rishonim that were mamash mislabeled. It's a mix-up as to who exactly wrote what. So for many years, this Ritva was not known to be the Ritva. So when the Ktzais, for argument's sake, was reading this Ritva, and he sees that who he thought was the Rashba quoting his Rebbe, okay, big deal. So the Rashba's Rebbe associates the Ritva's Rebbe. Who cares? It's a different person. But Lamaisa, the later Poskim, all Nimna Vagamba, if you're interested, you can read probably not Vagamba. If you want to know how Kisviyak and sometimes get confused, that's what Ksaviyak looks like. So, the bottom line is, he says, the opening line of the Mavo to the Ritva, Chidushi HaRitva Masechet Sukkah Nitzpasu B'Rishona B'Sok Shiva Shitnas LaHarashba. The original material said, Goram L'Kach Sherabim Yichzos HaChidushim Eil LaHarashba. He quotes a Prima Gadim who thought that way. He quotes Avnei Milug who thought that way. Listen to how he concludes. El Shaborur Hu She'ein Kan El Atos Badvar Mukhichim Mitocham Shechidush HaRitva Heb. We've reached 400 riots. that that means that truly the Ritva's Chiddushim. Unfortunately, that scholarship is not going to do a bonus well here, because that's what creates the steer for us. So the bottom line is, I don't know what to do with the steer. But it's a problem. It's a little bit of a problem. They're all seen to at different times, held different things. And the Ritva's is also a dog, so that changes minds also. But the Ritva's presenting two different versions that seem to contradict one another. Anyway, I hope I'm getting back to that story. So we have an open question about the status of Yisrael HaNoah. A lot of it emanates from Taisus and Maseches Pesachim. The Taisus and Pesachim clearly disagree with that, at least one of the Ra'as. Hopefully we have to show up next week. We have to go to the next step and see how does this play out in terms of other sugyas. And as Dr. Fisher said, most importantly, for our purposes, only said, how does this play out in terms of Chometz? Who really owns Chometz? We touched a little bit upon this in previous weeks, but now we're going to come back to it again in full force. Chometz on Pesach. Do I own it or do I not own it? I'm by Rabbi Matzeh, but do I own it or do I not own it? Let's jump next week.